Rabbi Chairman and Mr. Jacob Feinbach, distinguished co-chairman Rabbi Rabban Eisler, distinguished co-chairman Rabbi Rabban Robert, distinguished guest speaker Rabbi Dr. Yitzchok Persky, and with your permission, I'm taking the liberty to assume that I don't have to say distinguished Alleluia by our celebration. Your distinguished Rabbi of the day, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to deviate from my usual practice. Some might be disappointed, but most of you will be pleasantly surprised. I'm going to read from a paper. The reason as to why I decided to read from a paper is because, ignoring Borges, that hey, there is a shakar itali, a discussion between the Amoroi as to whether Meshe Rabbeinu, Meshe Aviyoda, Eimase Chatzis, Kachatzis, Bachatzis, the Gemara comes to the conclusion that Meshe Rabbeinu really was able to do something in the Chatzis moment. But because of Pharaoh, so he said Kachatzis. But the implication in that Gemara is that the whole Shakar Utari is all in connection with Moshe. Amen! Less on the point, he doesn't know what Chatzis is. So because of that, I decided I have to read from the paper. I don't trust myself. The practice of designating an honoree upon whom special honors are bestowed is as old and ancient as the Jewish people. We find that Yaakov Avinu designated an honoree, to wit, Yosef HaTzadik, upon whom Yaakov bestowed special honors, as it is written in the Torah at the beginning of the Sefer Vayeshev, V'Yisroel Oav Es Yosef Mikol Boro, Ki Ben Skun Muloi, V'Osolo Ikseines Bas. Now Yisroel loved Yosef more than all his children, because he was a Ben Skun, a son of his old age. And Yaakov made him a coat made out of fine wool with many stripes, many colors. There are few shotting or explanations of the expression Ben Skun. One explanation is, as the Ramban points out, that Yaakov chose Yosef as his honoree, because Yosef, being born to Yaakov in Yaakov's old age, looked after Yaakov in Yaakov's old age much more than any of the other children. This means that Yaakov designated Yosef as the honoree because Yosef distinguished himself in his service to Yaakov more than any one of the other sons. A second explanation of the expression Kibon Skun Muloi is, as Unkeles renders it, Areva Hakim Muloi, that Yosef was a very wise son to whom Yaakov imparted all the Torah and wisdom that Yaakov learned in the academies, the yeshivas of Shem Veiva. According to this explanation, Yaakov designated Yosef as his honoree because Yosef distinguished himself in wisdom, in knowledge and scholarship. A third explanation of the expression Kibben Tzuri Muloi is Zivikunin Shalyesi, Deimeli Shalyako, that Yosef's facial image was analogous to the image of Yaakov, who personified the mideal quality of Tiferes, beauty and charm. According to this third explanation, Yosef was designated as Yaakov's Arami because Yosef distinguished himself in charm and charisma. I don't know whether I, the Arami of Yeshiva's Brisk, deserve, from the perspective of the three pshatim or explanations of the expression Kiben Skunin Loi, this special honor and recognition, and assuming that I don't deserve this honor and recognition, then I will be committing an avera, he said, in accepting this undeserved honor. For the Mishnah Yitzchak Makis in Perek Kehilah Gelin says, "Ritzeach shegolo liyamikvote, virotzu anshei riyah lechavdei, yeima lohem ritzeachani, shenema vizeh bar ritzeach." If somebody kills unintentionally a human being, so he's hired to go in exile in the Orem Mikvot to have a kaporet for this manslaughter, unintentional homicide. Suppose the Yitzhak B'Shei happens to be in Big Town Tochet, and the residents of the Mikvot, not knowing that he was nichshel in such a terrible avera, in killing a human being, but they know that he's a Big Town Tochet, they give him covet, honor and glory, commensurate with his scholarship. So he is obligated to tell the residents of the city, Rabbeisai, don't give me that covet. I am a Ritzeach. Shemema Vizet Bar Ritzeach. The Yerushalmi Makis says that this obligation, implicit in the pasuk, in the expression, Vizet Bar Ritzeach, has general application. If you tell me Tochem, who is only knowledgeable in talking one Misach, comes to a strange city, and the residents of that city think they overestimate his gears, and they think that he's a talking two Misachtes, and the Talmud Chochem, who is talking two Misachtes, deserves more covet than the Talmud Chochem, who is talking one Misachtes. And the residents of the city, thinking that he's a talking two Misachtes, giving the covet, the honor, and the glory, commensurate with kias in two misachtes, then, according to the obligation, the mitzvah, implicit in the expression, the zedvah aretzeach, is obligated to tell them, Rabbeisai, don't give me covet for two misachtes, I only know one misachtes. In other words, the zedvah aretzeach implies, and misa deraisa, to accept recognition that one doesn't deserve. Now, I'm not a Ritzeach, but I don't know whether I deserve, according to the three explanations in the expression Kibon Skunim Eloi, this special honor that you are bestowing upon me. But even if I were to become extra generous to myself and audaciously presume that I do fit into one of the pshatim or explanations in the expression Kiben Skunim Eloi, I still would not be justified in accepting this honor of being the honoree, for the simple reason that according to our sages, Yaakov Avinu committed a great blunder in honoring Yosef, thereby injecting an element of jealousy and ill will among his children. I'm referring to the Gemara in Shabbos that Yud. Gemara says, Omar Rav Chomer Bar Guria, Omar Rav, לאימו מרגישן אודום דולוי בנבונים שער בשביל משקל של סבורים מילס וקסינס פסים שעושה יעקב וייסי יייסי המשל בונוב נסכן בו איכו ונסגל בו הדובו ויורדו אביסינו למצרים. A father is not allowed to bestow special honors upon one son, even if he deserves it, because it injects an element of jealousy in the will. This is a natural attribute, jealousy. Bakil with a miskanu, chutz mit neki salmide. Doesn't say chutz miyochi, chutz mit neki salmide. And because of the special honor that Yaakov Avinu bestowed upon Yosef HaTzadik, although Yosef HaTzadik well deserved it, so the brothers became jealous and it was manipulated that the Israelites should be in Mitzrayim for several hundred years. However, besides the three criteria for designating an honoree on the basis of the three pshatim or explanations mentioned by Rashi in regard to the expression ki ben tzukumim loy, there is another criterion mentioned by the Medrash Rabbe in connection with the first pasuk in yesterday's sefer of Tzitzit as a basis for designating an honoree. The Medrash says, V'ato titzave hadom yitzid zayis ra'anon yifei kriteya kora adishem shimcho v'cholo yitfu. So the Medrash Rabbe raises the question, v'cholo yitfu yisroel elo ki zayis hazed levad v'ali v'chol mini limone yisnoi mim shubochim nitfu yisroel mim shilu v'gefen v'teino v'bitono tzadik atomo yitfu v'yerez Kerlovanizge, the Egeis, the Kogon, the Homine, Shlochani, Uponium, Yo, Lema, Zais, Hanon, the Faith, the Tea. Why is it that Yemio Hanogi, when he expresses the greatness and the uniqueness of the Jewish people, he compares them to an olive tree? But the Israelites are compared by the being to all kinds of trees. But the greatest honor, the greatest uniqueness consists in being compared to an olive tree. Why? So the Medrash Rabbe says, Alama hazayis hazeh, achu b'yilonei migargar v'neisei, v'akeinu v'neisei min hazayis, v'nechbat, v'sharev k'neisei, mal neisei, v'gas, v'neisei neisom, v'matchon, v'mir, v'akein tich v'neisom, v'akein makif v'neisom, v'chavodim, ומביאים אבונים בהקים ניסני משמנון, כך ישראל, בונים ומסעילון, וחיפתי מייסון, ממוקים למוקים, וחיפשי מייסון, וקיפשי מייסון, וקורבים, ומקיף מייסון, תרטיוטים, והקים בני ישראל עושים תשובו, והקודש ברוך הוא, אין אליהם. It is written, I'm going to translate this message in English. It is written in Yirmiyahu, the Lord called by name a leafy olive tree, fair with goodly fruit. The question is the olive tree the only tree after which Israelites are compared? Have they not also been called after every kind of handsome and noble tree? They are compared to a vine, to a fig tree, to a palm tree, to a cedar tree, to a nut tree. They are also called after every kind of shoot, as it says, Shlochayich pardes remaining, thy shoots are a part of pomegranates. Yet, Yirmiyahu the Novi comes and says, a leafy olive tree, fair with goodly fruit. But in truth, Yirmiyahu tells us that the greatest honor upon Israel consists in the fact that they are analogous to an olive tree, just as an olive is picked from the tree and is beaten, and after it is beaten, it is placed in the vat, and then it is crushed. And after it is crushed, it is bound with cords, and then huge stones are placed upon it, and only then does it give forth joy. So we these realize the nations of the world come and beat them from place to place. The nations of the world humiliate the Israelites. They persecute them and crush them and bind them in chains and surround them with soldiers. And they put them in prison. And then the Israelites do tshuva and turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers them. The gist of this medrash is that Israel is designated by Almighty God Himself as the honoree who deserves special honors and is uniquely worthy of special honors because it has the potential of elevating themselves through suffering, through Yisroel. The other nations demonstrated that when disaster overtakes them, they become demoralized, they disintegrate, and they disappear from earth. Israel, however, is able not only to survive disaster and tragedy, but is even able to ennoble and elevate itself through tragedy and suffering. I agreed to become the honoree at the priest banquet because I was convinced that I was chosen as honoree because in the minds of all the rabbis, the administration, the directors, the friends, the supporters of Brisk, the women of Brisk, it was their unanimous opinion that I am typical and reflective of the Shiva's Brisk in its entirety, who demonstrated that not only was the Shiva's Brisk as a yeshiva able to survive two major tragedies in 1 year, but that it was even able to ennoble and elevate itself through tshuva in face of trouble and suffering. As I mentioned in the ufo of my son Yossi, that the smak says that the most basic mitzvah of all the mitzvahs essay in the Torah, the Ramach Mitzvah essays, is the mitzvah of the Yodato, the Asher Yaseh, Ishes Noi, Kena, the Shem Rekachom Yasrech. That implies that when a Jew is overtaken by trouble, by disaster, by tragedy, he should not, has Rishonen, let himself become demoralized, as the Yisraelim do, but he should try through tshuva to elevate himself. There is a midah of the Yudim Midei Shatir on the Breshes. We say it every day before the davening in the Brais of Rabbi Shmuel. Kol dogo shehoya b'chlau v'yotzo min ha'chlau lo yilamid al atzmi yotzo el yilamid al ha'chlau kula yotzo. Whatever is included in a general category and afterwards specified to teach us something new is expressly stated not only for its own sake, but to teach us something in connection with the whole category. The two tragedies that overtook Midah Yeshiva's Brisk as a whole, namely the fire that took place in November 1982 and the stroke that overtook me on May 29, 1983, demonstrated that Yeshiva's Brisk as a whole was able not only to survive the two tragedies, but that it was even able to elevate itself through tshuva to greater heights in face of disaster and suffering. This is the reason as to why I agreed to become the honoree, namely because of the criteria mentioned by the Medrash Rabbe on the first pasuk in yesterday's set. Unlike the three criteria for choosing an honoree, which are implicit in the three pshatim or explanations in the expression given skuli, and which are, according to our sages in Sefer Shabbos, not to be applied because these criteria might inject an element of jealousy and ill will, the criterion of being able to elevate oneself through suffering, trouble, disorder, and tragedy which is implicit in the Medrash Shlava and the first Pasuk in Adat Tisaveh, does not tend to inject an element of jealousy and ill will, for the simple reason that a reasonable person is not jealous of suffering, pain, and disaster. However, according to the Yerushalmi Makis, when someone is honored, it is imperative that he should not accept honor that is due to someone else other than himself. In conformity to this imperative, I feel compelled to declare that my ability to elevate myself with tshuva in the midst of suffering and disaster and tragedy and pain was made possible only through the patience and the self-negating sacrifices made by my wife, Rebbe Soloveitchik. Whenever I think of Rebbe Soloveitchik's role in helping me to exercise unimaginable perseverance and superhuman patience and courage in face of unbearable suffering and pain, for Hashem, now the pain is spared and daily, but there were weeks when I wasn't even able to learn for 5 minutes, and I reminded myself of what the Mashal says in Brachas, the Gemara tells in Brachas, that so Rabbi Yochanan came to visit him, Bakachelehim. So Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Elazar, Chvim olach yisurim. Rabbi Elazar said, Lohevel is chalom. The Mashal raises a question, it doesn't befit an Amire, a giant of Torah, to give such an answer. He has to be mikabel the Ave yisurim. And these were yisurim shel Ave. How come that he said, Lohengel is on? So the Mashal gives a very simple answer. He says, of course, Rabbezer and all other Chachamim Danoroim who have Yisurim, they are ready to become Yisurim the Ave. But Amed Moram Amurim, if he doesn't interfere with learning of Torah, but Yisurim are so intense, they couldn't concentrate upon learning. So, what do they accomplish? The reason as to why you have to be Kalbah, the world, to elevate yourself, but they couldn't learn. So, there were weeks when I couldn't learn. I couldn't even go over the Dafayomi. It was impossible for me to concentrate, even 5 minutes. Now I still have faith, but it's bearable. I can concentrate upon learning. So whenever I think of Rebbe Soloveitchik's role in helping me to exercise such perseverance and courage in face of such suffering and pain, the story of Rabbi Akiva and his wife Rachel flashes in my mind. The story is mentioned in the Talmud in Misachas Nidorim Daf Nun and in Ksuves Daf Samaveis. Rabbi Akiva was a shepherd of Ben Kalbe Sobua. Ben Kalbe Sobua's daughter Rochel, seeing how modest and noble Akiva was, said to Rabbi Akiva, at that time he was not Rabbi Akiva, he was just Akiva, were I to be betrothed to you, would you go away to study in the yeshiva? Yes, Akiva replied. She became married to Akiva and sent him away. When her father, Kalbe Sobua, heard what his daughter Rochel did, he ousted Rochel from his house and forbade her by a vow to have any benefit from his estate. Rabbi Akiva departed and spent 12 years at the academy, at the yeshiva. When he returned home, he brought with him 12,000 talmidim. While he was approaching his wife's house, he heard an old man saying to his wife Rochel, how long will you will you wait for your husband and you stay as a living, you do it in the life of living widowhood? Shmuel replied, if Akiva would only listen to me, he would spend another 12 years in the yeshiva. Rabbi Akiva heard that and he said, my wife Rochel gives her consent for my staying another 12 years. I'm not even going into the house. And he went back to the yeshiva and he spent another 12 years in the yeshiva. And then after 24 years, he came home with 24,000 Talmidim. His wife Rochel heard of his arrival and went out to meet him. As she was coming near him, some of Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim tried to thrust her aside. When Rabbi Akiva, at that time it was already Rabbi Akiva, not Akiva, when Rabbi Akiva screamed out to them, leave her alone, shalimi shalohem shalohi, whatever I possess, whatever you possess, are due to her credit. I feel obligated to explain like Rabbi Akiva, shalimi shalohem shalohi, mine and yours are hers. All my perseverance in face of trouble, as well as the perseverance shown by my children and by my committee in face of adverse circumstances, are due to Rebbetzin Soloveitchik's devotion, patience, and self-negating sacrifices. The Talmud in Maseches Yevamos, that's Tamar Gimel, says, Omar Rebbe, Tamo Teivo Isho Teivo, Shenemar Moto Isho Moto Teivo. אם בגבור אשתו יקרוא, כמה תיבו אישה תיבו, שהכוסף משבתו. ואם בתיבו משתה יקרוא, כמה תיבו אישה תיבו, שהתיבו פנים של הדור. I'll translate it in English. Rabbi said, how wonderful is a good wife, for it is written, whoever finds a good wife, finds a good thing. If the verse in scripture has reference to a wife, then how wonderful is a good wife that scripture praises her so much. And if scripture has reference to the Torah, then how wonderful is a good wife that the Torah itself is compared to her. This Talmudic passage implies that there is an analogy between a good wife and the Torah itself. What is the common denominator between a good wife and the Torah? I think that the Marshal, in his Yam Shal Shleimi Amorotame, in Simen Lamedzayin Amorupe, mentions a clue to this question. The Yam Shal Shleimi in Simen Lamedzayin Amorupe says that when one makes a siyam of Nisachte, then at the meal, in the Samotin of the meal, he has to say, Sha'asim Chobimei, just as the Mivore of the Samozi, at the wedding, Shelebrach has just in Amishte, so the Mivore has to say, Sha'asim Chobimei, so at the Siyam Misechas Sude, at the Sude of the Siyam Misechas, he has to say, Sha'asim Chobimei, and the Mashal says, it is so important that in his city, he told the Jews, whenever they make a party, they should say Asim for the Meleh, but the Jews, even in those days, so there are certain Jews who had the courage to disagree with the Mashal, and they said, whoever heard such a thing, that you, in a Siyo Misechte Sude in the Talmud, you say Asim for the Meleh, you say it at the wedding, but not the Siyo Misechte, and because of that, many of the Sudas and the Simchas of Siyam Misechta turned into Kalus Reish. And he says, as Hatoya in Maskir, that's what the Mashal writes, that I wasn't firm enough to emphasize to all the Jews that they must say Asim Chabimeinei when they are involved in the Kesamosei in the Sudas Simchas Misechta. It's a very remarkable Mashal. And the reason is because a Suda of Tzili Sachte is analogous to a Suda Smisrin. Just as the Morim Suda says that the Suda Smisrin, they have to say, Hasim from the main name, so in Suda Tzili Sachte, you also have to say Hasim from the main. What is the meaning of the expression Shasim from the main? I think that the meaning is very simple. The Gemara in Misachas Chagiga after Gimel says that there are seven heavens in the universe. And one of the seven heavens is called Moed. That's one of the seven spheres in the heaven. And Moed is the domicile of the Malachi Ashorens who sing Shira at night when there is total darkness. These angels apparently possess the remarkable quality of instilling joy in the universe by imbuing the dark spheres of the universe with song and music. In the Birkas Hamozein, at the wedding of Shivas Imamishte, the Marshal insists, we must say Shasim Kodomene, in order to emphasize the point that an idea that there is an analogy between an Isha Teva and the Torah itself, that in order that an ideal marriage is one in which the wife, the woman, is determined to be an Eda Kenegdei, even in the midst of total darkness, even in face of Yisur, of suffering and pain, like the angels inhabiting the heaven or sphere of Moed, who are able to instill joy in darkness by imbuing the sphere Moed in heaven with song and music. In a similar vein, the study of Torah has the capacity to dispel gloom, frustration and darkness by imbuing the dark spheres of the world with joy, sound and music, as the Lamarok says in chapter Kupyites, capital Kupyites in Gilead. Lulei siros kosha ashuari, was a vanity beyond you. If not for the delight I find in your Torah, the Lamarok says to the Rebbeinu Shalom, I will perish in my affliction. I can say the same thing about myself. Lulei siros kosha ashuari, I wouldn't have been able to survive the pain and the suffering that I experience as a result of the stroke. And I just want to tell you something. My brother Rabbi Yeshiver, so he has a brain sickness. Everybody knows. He has the Parkinson's disease. About 2 years ago, I visited him in his apartment in Yeshiva University in Dormito. And I started to talk about Washington, about DC, all kinds of things. And my brother looked, at that time he was 78, but he looked like 99 or 100 or 105 years old. And then, as I was talking to him, he fell asleep twice. Then, I wanted to discuss certain halachas with him. I started to discuss with him halachas. In 5 minutes, he became so relaxed, and he looked like 50 years ago. I mean, how was he able in 5 minutes to become invigorated and youthful? And he didn't fall asleep anymore. And he kept on talking and learning. It's the Keach of Teira. Lulei siros kosha ashuri, ki oz of vaditi v'onji. Because the study of Torah has the unimaginable capacity to dispel gloom, frustration and darkness by imbuing the dark spheres of the world with joy, song and music. As Dovid HaMelech says, Lulei siros kosha ashuri, ki oz of vaditi v'onji. This is the gist of the analogy between an Isha Teva and the Torah itself. As Rava says in Gondes Bashamadil, Kamo Teva Isha Teva. What is the meaning of an Isaac Negdei? An Isaac Negdei is a wife who is able to dispel pain, frustration, despondency and gloom, even in face of suffering. And and his soul. This also explains as to why the Marshal says that in the Birkas Hamozein Sude of Isiu Miseches, we have to say Shasim Kobimoyne in the same way as in Sude Mishila Sina Mishke. In conclusion, I would like to reiterate that I am happy to accept the honors you are bestowing upon me, because I am convinced that in choosing Lia Danali, so you decided to declare, to designate the real Anali, Yeshiva's priest itself, and I am only the Shliach Rikabole, for the Talmidim, for the Rebbein, for the friends, for the women. I am the Shliach Rikabole of all those who are involved in Yeshiva's priest. Though the real Anali is Yeshiva's priest in its entirety, not I. And Yeshiva's priest certainly deserves this honor, this special honor. And I'm very grateful to you for bestowing this unique honor upon me, because I put it on the credit of Yeshiva's priest. I am only a Shliach Mekabole. And in conclusion, I would like to repeat the expression coined by Rabbi Akiva in respect to Rebbe's origin. Shalili Shalachem Shalohim. Mine and yours, the long term.
We refer to him as Talmid Migrah. Emphatically make it clear that that title is inappropriate. In keeping with Yerushalmi and Makis and this letter, I want to disown all titles that have been mentioned. I stand here to bring you a brief message. I'm not much of a traveler. Travel is not a favorite pastime, nor is attending banquets, as a matter of fact. But I assure you that today's trip to Chicago was well worth it, because participate in this tribute to Yeshiva's Brisk and its beloved leader, Rabbi Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, is indeed a privilege. Lest you think that this is sentimental rhetoric, should you ask why? Why is this gathering tonight so special? And why do I consider it so gratifying to be here? Aside from purely personal reasons, aside from the opportunity to greet Rav Aaron and his Rebbetzin, aside also from having noticed just before that I'm listed here as a sponsor, and I would like at least to be worthy of the title builder, aside from these reasons, let me very pointedly and elusively, as I want to be brief, tell you why I consider this gathering special. And I'll do it with the help of a Yerushalmi and a Bavli, and both of them in the spirit of Hasidus. Yerushalmi and Shkolim has the following moving passage. Ein nikra v'lo nivas beis ayin sof. How is it possible to read without trembling, without being overwhelmed by the impact of that which is read? There is great pathos, and one cannot, one should not remain aloof, but dispassionate. There's no room here for Lifkashir restraint or coldness. The Pasuk talks directly to you and impresses you with its immediacy, with its relevance, with its contemporaneity. This is a common motif, incidentally, of Chazal. You find many times in the Gemara, example in Chagiga, Rebbe Havanokit say the kinos, the kari the gavua. Rebbe Yehuda Nasi was reading Eicha. Yimata l'hai psuka, hishnit mishamayim eretz nafal min yadeh. He was moved, he was involved emotionally. He was not just reading for purposes of information. Reading is not merely informative, it's not an exercise in analysis, but it must have emotional impact. Yerushalmi says, a nikra v'lo nivas. L'tova kol nadiv leiv. L'ra'a v'yisparku kol ha'am. L'tova v'yotze Moshe sa'am. L'ra'a v'tikrubun elai kulchem. L'tova, again the third example, oz yoshir Moshe v'nei Yisrael. L'ra'a v'tisa kol va'eda. A stunning observation, which is intended to underscore two points. The first, it is easier to be attracted to destructive causes. In each instance, L'ra'a, the Torah testifies that all the people, kol, the leitmotif is the word kol, all the people participated by Yisparku Kol Ha'om. When it came to the Egel, everybody took off their jewelry and donated it. When it came to complain, Batisa Kol Ha'eda. In each case, Torah testifies that all people were involved. Whereas with Tova, the emphatic word Kol is not used. In the first example, kol nadiv leiv, the kol is qualified, is restricted by what follows, by nadiv leiv. This is a compressed lesson, you might say, in mock psychology. People are drawn along more readily to unworthy causes. And hence, I, for one, have never been impressed or misled by numbers of popularity contests. But the second point, more important, more repercussive, is the definitive message and the unassailable challenge that a small number of people, we don't know the percentage, we don't know how many joined the ranks of Nadive Leib, but this is the message and the challenge which Yerushalmi underscores. A small number is in a position to change the course of history and to influence the destiny of the entire nation. After all, these Nadive Leiv, whoever they were and how many they were, these Nadive Leiv atoned for the sin of the golden calf, and they were the instruments for securing God's presence, Ashras HaShchinah. Many of you know the Ramban's comment, V'hinei ikar ha-chefetz v'mishkan u'mikom menuchas ha-shchinah. The main desideratum, the prime goal in constructing the Mishkan, was to provide a resting place, an abode for the Shchinah. This is what should make us tremble. Not the fact that people quickly succumb to pressures and go astray, but that an individual may move heaven and earth, that a small number of people may initiate far-reaching developments or trigger an entire sequence of happenings. Hein nikra v'lo nivas, that we, you sitting here tonight, may be chosen to don the mantle of Nadive Leiv and influence history with Tova. But what is in the dip blade for a verbosa? I think that it's imperative that we understand how the dip blade should be defined. Who is the person that has such unlimited potential for creative, imaginative endeavor, for composing a melody that will reverberate through the ages? There is a maimon in the Gemara Sukkot, Daf Mem Tes, from which I think we may infer a new definition, an evocative, stirring characterization of Nedib Leib. Gemara says, Darash Rava, my Gitsiv, my Yapu, Kamaya, Panaholim, Basnodid, Pasuk Yashirim. How beautiful are your steps and sandals, your feet, my Yapu, Kamaya, Panaholim, Basnodid, O Prince's daughter. Gemara says, my Yapu, Kamosan, Shal Yisrael, Bishash, Olin, Lurega. How beautiful are the steps of Israel when they ascend to Yerushalayim in the festivals. Bas Nodiv, Bito Shal Avrom Avinu, Shenikra Nodiv. O Prince's daughter, Bas Nodiv, refers to the daughter of Avrom Avinu. We didn't know that she had that. Avrom Avinu had a daughter. Bas Nodiv, Bito Shal Avrom Avinu, the daughter of Avrom Avinu, who is called Nodiv. Where is Avraham Avinu referred to as Nodiv? The Gemara quotes, Shenemar Nedive Amin Nesopu Am Elokei Avraham. Elokei Avraham, the law Elokei Yitzchak V'Yakov. Ella, this too is a common motif. Many times, Chazal will very closely, meticulously, pay attention to a pasuk. Why, for example, Yisaget Hashem Lokei Yaakov, the Gemara in Brachos says, why Lokei Yaakov, the Lord Lokei Avraham, the Lokei Yitzchak? Here, the Gemara is emphasizing Lokei Avraham, the pasuk in Tillin, which you all know from the fourth Kiyashofa, from the south of Nekora. Nedive Amim Ne'asofu Amo Lokei Avraham, Lokei Avraham, the Lord Lokei Yitzchak, the Yaakov, Ella Lokei Avraham, Shehoya Tchilo Legerim. The pasuk in Tehillim, which I don't want to take time now to elaborate, is more or less explained by the Gemara here in Sukkot. But what about the equation Bas Nodiv Bito Shel Avraham Avinu? This has yet to be explained. What do Chazal have in mind when they say Bas Nodiv Bito Shel Avraham Avinu? And of what relevance is the fact that Avraham Avinu was Tchila Legerim, first of those who committed themselves passionately and unqualifiedly to recognizing God and bringing others to share this recognition? That's what the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem is all about, according to the Rambam and the Sefer Mitzvahs. What's the connection here? Rashi comments very pungently, says, Nodiv Shenidovo Libo Lahakir Es Boro. He recognized Kodesh Baruch Hu because he was a Nodiv. And the Div Leib, Shenidovo Libo. And then Rashi reiterates unequivocally on the phrase Tchilo Legerim. Again, Rashi says, Benitvas Libo Lehizgayir. Now you all understand that the conventional explanation of Nedib Leib does not help in this context. Rashi is calling our attention to the fact that Nedib Leib does not mean exclusively or primarily a generous person. Generosity certainly is one consequence of Nidvas Leib. It is one manifestation, an important one to be sure, but Nedib Leib should be perceived as an ideal type of person whose heart stimulates, galvanizes, and inspires. A person whose actions in all spheres, spiritual, intellectual, financial, and social also, but in all spheres, one whose actions are guided by reasons and dictates of the heart. A person of understanding, sensitivity, and honesty, eager to learn and to be uplifted. A person appreciative of virtuosity, of greatness, of that which is true, sublime, and fascinating. A person who would not waste an opportunity given him to confront greatness and to embrace truth. This is why Avraham Avinu, as an Aviv Leib, was privileged to rediscover and disseminate the true belief in one God. In the Dovo Libo, this is Tilo Ligeri. In short, the conspicuous element that emerges from this definition is that the Aviv Leib represents a type. It represents the tradition of Avraham Avinu, the Nadir par excellence. Some of you may know in the 19th century the phrase a Nadir Hayadua was used to refer to Baron Rothschild, or the bright Iran. According to the Gemara in Sukkot, that epithet, that title should be disowned. A Nadir Hayadua is Avraham Avinu. The Nidvas Libo, the one who develops a perfect correspondence between inner conviction and behavior, for whom there is no disparity between feeling and knowing and doing, who in a disciplined way follows his heart and seeks that which is important to the heart. Chaim Volozhin explained on Mishkovi Balelos, Bipashti Eshe Ohav Onafshi, those things which are important to the heart. Dvarim Hanogim Lanefesh, Shenafshi Ohe Vosa. Nadiv, in short, and there are other interesting memoriam that could be discussed here, but I will omit them. One can contrast Nadav and the Pasuk in Yishayahu lo yifarei ov l'Nadav Nadir. What is the implied contrast between Nadav and Nadir? And then Am Nadav lo chacham. So you have another contrast. In any event, Orav Rabosan, who does not want to be included in that elite company designated as Bas Nadir? Who would not strive zealously and unrelentingly to be called Nadir, to be counted among the Nadive Leib who leave an imprint on history and who share creatively, strategically in the unfolding of the providential drama? The Torah community, Chicago, are blessed in that you have the opportunity to be the Nidvei Leib by relating the Nidvas Libchem to one of the most luminous teachers of this generation, and the Nidvei Leib himself, and the Nidvei Leib of the highest order, whose intellectual, spiritual, and moral resources are inexhaustible and inestimable. You are in a position to be Nidvei Leib by learning from and being inspired by a sensitive and passionate scholar and leader. To fully understand who Rav Aaron is and what he represents, it is necessary to know that he is not only a worthy heir of the Beis Harav, as was very beautifully presented earlier in the evening by Rabbi Rova. I want to emphasize, he is not only a worthy heir of the Beis Harav, that most remarkable institution of modern Jewish life, vibrant, fascinating, and ennobling. I know, if I may interject, what an uninterrupted, spiritual, aristocratic tradition means. Back, in my case, the Chernobyl Magid, and the Malo Bakodesh, the Baal Shem Tov. The Beis Harav, which was the cradle of so much of Jewish life and learning of the last 200 years, is in a class by itself, and its commanding influence has been widely recognized. Rav Aaron is not only a worthy heir of the Beis Harav, with an increment, with the added individuating characteristics of risk. A one-syllable word, a simple place name that has been transformed into a complex of values, associations, and ideals, of great achievements and lofty aspirations. Risk means conceptual precision and rigor, clarity of expression and exposition, meticulous, fastidious thinking and speaking, intellectual honesty, together with intellectual boldness. It also means a pervasive tradition of chesed. Rav Aaron is not only, I repeat, a repository of a grand tradition, of a two-tiered tradition, but all of this has been filtered through his own beautiful personality. Let me just note briefly the following. His amazing erudition. The Torah could be rich and meaningful, it must be comprehensive. It cannot be compartmentalized or fragmentized. Torah and narrowness and parochialism are mutually exclusive. Torah is comprehensive and commodious, and that's the way it's studied, must be, and that's the way its transmission must be. The Zohar, in elaborating the Gemara Kedushin, says about Chacham Sheshol and also the Kol Dovor Ve'Omer Umeshit, the emphasis on Kol. In addition to this all-encompassing erudition, there is the ability to use learning with precision, just with the right measure. I dare say that Rav Aaron has never revealed more than is necessary. Even sometimes when he will give a long drushin without a text in hand, he never says anything that is not necessary for the occasion. Here I'm reminded of the Chutzka interpretation of the Gemara or in Sukkah and Bava Basra about the 80 disciples, Shmonim Talmidim, Oyolo Lehilo Zakei. Chutzka Shabakulam Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, Gadol Shabakulam Rabbi Yonasan Ben Uziel. And after listing all his wonderful attributes, says Shekol O Pakoreat Nishraf Ba'avir, when Rabbi Yonasan Ben Uziel was engaged in study of the Torah, then the flame, the fire of the Torah was so great that a bird flying overhead would be burnt. And the Chutzka brought is that when the Misnagid studies this Gemara, he asks, So who pays? Who's responsible for the damage? And in part, they ask, as Bam Talmud is a Zoi, what's the Shem Bam Revi? This is what the Gemara says about Yonasan Ben Uziel. So what is left to be said about his Rebbe? And the answer is, Bam Revi Vatnish Tabren. He knows how to utilize his resources. And he will never give an extra, any increment that is not called for. If you need to have the temperature at 68, it should not be 69. If you need, I've heard hundreds of times in the name of Rav Chaim, if you need 5 words with which to express a chiddush, then don't use 4 and don't use 6. This is how the Kotzke went on to explain the name Sotnas Panea, which the Torah says was given to Yosef. If it's to emphasize that he revealed secrets, it should have been Panea Sotnas, the one who reveals that which is hidden. And Kotzke said Sotnas Panea because he conceals that which is revealed. In the process of revealing, he conceals. He only shows himself what is necessary. This is meticulousness. This is precision. This is supplemented by far-reaching chesed. And here I would like to share with you a new word. I didn't coin it. But my great-grandpa, the Morinai, Chernobyl Magid, as far as I know, uses the word chasdon. What does chasdon mean? How is chasdon different from a baal chesed? And here I thought of the explanation that is attributed to the Goyim. It says in the bracha on Yom HaKippurim, the bracha of Kedushas Hayom, when we say Yata Solfan Yisrael, Mochalon, Shifte Yeshurin, Veinlanu Melech Mochel Soleah. What is Solfan? How is that different from Solea? Actually, he asked, how is Rachman different from Merachem? And the answer is, Merachem, or Solea, or Baal Chesed, is one who does these actions, who engages in these actions from time to time. A Rachman is a person whose sense of Rachmanus is just overwhelming and overpowering. He shows Rachmanus because he cannot help it. This is what a chasdon is. This is the phrase, the word which I found in the Morinayim, in Chernobyl Magid, a chasdon. One other trait, one characteristic that should be underscored. This great teacher is free of all pompousness. There is no pretense, no ceremonialism. I imagine that this is the kind of Talmud Chacham which Chazal described when they tell the following story, again, in the Gemara in Chagiga, about Revi and Rav Chiya, Avushakwe v'azbu b'urcha. They were traveling. Yudha Nasi and Rav Chiya were traveling. Kimata lahu masa, amre ikra tzurva miragonan hacha. They asked, is there a Talmud Chacham in town? Nezu v'nikbal ape. He wants to go give shalom. He wants to say hello. Amre ikra tzurva miragonan hacha umuori naiku. Somebody, Mazal leaves him anonymous, probably not to shame him, says, there is a Talmud Chacham here, and he's blind. Amalei Rav Chiya the Rebbe, Tiv'at, you stay here. Rav Chiya was worried that the high office, the tradition, the dignity, which Rabbeinu HaKadosh represented, should somehow not be tainted by his going to visit such an unknown, sickly person, Talmud Chacham that he was. if at, it says, you sit here, lo tezalzel bin siuspa, don't belittle, don't demean your office, but still, one has to recognize the local Surah Amirabana, Surah Pchia Akra, he said, Ezel Anah, I'll go, Vakabel Akve. Takpe V'ozal V'hadei. Umar says that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi insisted, and he accompanied Rabbi Pchia, Kihavu Mifter Amine, when they departed from this unknown Surah Amirabana, the blind Surah Amirabana, Amalahu, he gave them this bracha. Atem hikbalten panim hanirim ve'enam roim. Tisku lahakbil panim haroim ve'enam nirim. Moving bracha. Just as you came, he says, to greet a person, panim hanirim ve'enam roim. Face that looks but cannot see you, can only be seen by you, so you should be worthy of receiving the face of Aroa Enonire. Amale, after they left, Rabbi said to Rabbi Pia, Amale, Ikru, Hashtam, Na'atam, Mehajir Chasa. There are certain acts for which there is no substitute. You cannot delegate them. There is no shlichus here. Neither scholarship nor high office is a reason to avoid certain prosaic actions. On the contrary, Rebbe says, had I let formal official considerations prevail, I would have lost an irretrievable experience, a mitzvah and a bracha together. There is an all-pervasive humility, final point, which nurtures this, the other traits, the other characteristics that I've mentioned. And again, if I may, Baruch Hashem Omram, Shinobel Amavit says, Ra'isi b'nei aliyah v'ein mu'otim, should be understood that the verb is a cause, is a causal phrase. The few distinguished scholars, the elite, Ra'isi b'nei aliyah, because v'hein is shehein mu'atin, because they are mu'atin in their own eyes, this enhances their preeminence. In short, for both sides, I thought of the phrase used by the Meiri in portraying Rav Yehuda Anasi. It's a phrase once you read it, you'll never forget it. The introduction to the Beis Hapira, in giving a history, Torah Shebaal Peh, Meiri says very almost nonchalantly, saying Yiddish Azuk Tzefo. This is how he characterizes Rebbe. Adam Mesuyam Kloli, B'chol Chochma U'b'chol Ma'ala. Adam Mesuyam. We know the phrase from Halacha of Dava Mesuyam, a discreet, well-defined entity. Here, Adam Mesuyam, a distinct personality, a bearer of a noble tradition with his own unique traits and individuating features. You here in Chicago, on both sides, have a treasure. Shy, frail, unassuming teacher. One who has mastery in all realms of Torah. Sensitive and effective in the study and transmission and explication of Torah. Toward whom many, many students and colleagues and relatives feel admiration and affection. If I may conclude with the bracha, I would say simply, I hope and pray, of course, that the Baron should be well, and that you here will continue to be the Yivei Lev in all senses, cherish this treasure. Let it enrich your lives, all your lives. Preserve this unique treasure in your midst. At Viasco El Cedic, Eric Amin.
Ladies
and gentlemen, thank you all for coming to the